Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to continue the ongoing Jar Jar Binks saga, week by week, scene by scene, one page at a time. My name is Freddie Wong.
Hey, Freddie. It's me, Will. I'm Will Campos. I'm one of the hosts of this podcast.
You're not going to hit me with the Star Wars thing?
Oh, shoot. I forgot. No. Oh, my God. Of course I know Will. He's me.
Nice.
I got a bad feeling about this episode. Hey, everybody. This is Matt Arnold. Happy July 5th. Why the fuck is this a holiday? It's not the 4th.
Are you asking, like, why are we,
look,
like...
once you have a kid, holidays don't mean the same
what's
thing.
What's your degenerate like... who plays Dungeons & Dragons and writes Star Wars fan fiction for a living? There's no holidays
anymore. There's no
anymore.
Holidays. There's no
we're
holidays anyway.
24/7.
This is just a no daycare day. That's what holidays are. I mean, actually, like, wait a second. I did all these plans. Like, oh, wait. Daycare is closed. Like, I guess it's a holiday, but it's not the 4th. But I get it. People are... anybody's hung over on the 4th of July? Barbecues
no,
are like in the day.
Barbecues. Yeah. Maybe yeah. Meat hungover.
I went to a barbecue yesterday and had a couple beers and ate 700 pounds of food. And then, I went home and passed out at 4 in the afternoon. Like, you're like American patriots are supposed to, and woke up at 6 and didn't eat for the rest of the day. And that was,
See, I'm such an American patriot. I celebrated the 4th of July on August 2nd, which is probably most likely, as far as historians could tell, actually when the Declaration of Independence was signed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm that real sort of American. I'm that person that stops everybody on August 2nd and says, hey, by the way, everybody, can we have a sign of respect for the Declaration of Independence?
This you is go around ruining Christmas for people. She was like, actually, this is really more like the winter solstice.
Yeah,
Jesus
actually more
was probably born
actually,
in the
Christians
spring.
Actually took this date specifically to screw over the pagans' holiday. Jesus was actually most likely born in like November, but we're not sure.
That is a pretty galaxy brain move
if
you think about it.
Christians won.
Yeah.
Like objectively. It's the ultimate squatter move. They took their holiday. They took the entire winter solstice and said, this is God's birthday.
I made this.
Now.
This is God's birthday.
Not even like this is like this is the day he was a
hear
baby.
Hear me out. I think Disney is doing a similar movie by releasing Star Wars movies in December. I think this is the long play.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force. The long play is that in 200 years, people are not going to know the difference between the Bible and
they're
Star
gonna be
Wars.
Like, they're going to be like, actually, so May the 4th be with you is actually not the day that the Star Wars movies were released. They are usually released in December.
So the 4th of July is not when Star Wars originally came out. It's actually when the Declaration of Independence was signed, but
was
now
stolen by Nicolas Cage.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we are going to add to this.
We still say, may the force be with you at Starbucks in this country.
My kid went to college and they just stopped saying, may the force be with you. That's what they fucking do. That's what they fucking do over there. Brainwash you.
So fucking
dumb. All right. Where are we, boys? You guys don't remember.
No,
because I do the hard work. Yeah, on this really all the,
no, we. I
Darth
remember.
Vader, Darth
I remember.
Vader.
Fucking Qui-Gon Jinn watched Jar Jar lie to fucking Darth Vader's face.
D. Vader, dude.
D. Vader got shithoused at Cracker Barrel, and then asked Jar Jar if he could be uncanceled. Yeah. Jar Jar said yes, even though we all know the answer is no. Or Jar Jar said, to me, it's like Jar Jar does feel like Vader can be redeemed, but he's going to kill him anyway, right? Yeah. Like that's the.
Yeah, you can be redeemed.
Yeah, for sure. You won't be because I'm going to blow you up tomorrow. But okay, so we've gotten through. All right. We're in the end game, man.
Now what?
Now
so,
what?
It's gotta be the next day. It's the day. It's the thing. We're getting into it.
Freddie, you've been researching these artificial intelligences that like can tell a story and stuff like that. We've written enough of this script.
Oh yeah.
That I feel like the AI could take it from here, right?
Probably, yeah.
Do you think Darth Vader wins or dies at the end of the AI one?
If like AI
based
off
of what we've written, how do you think the ending would be?
Every one of those that I've read that like is like an AI generated story, like the real ones, not the ones where like I, you know, forced a Seinfeld bot to watch whatever. Yeah. But like it's always starts out like, oh, they're kind of, and then it just stops making sense by the end. It just kind of breaks down.
Yeah. Every time I see one of those things, I'm like, wow, this is pretty close to a movie. I'm like, this is why people like Marvel movies. Every time I see somebody, I'm like, you're not a writer. This is pretty close to a real one. It's like, no, it's not.
The secret is right now the best examples of those are human curated examples where an AI will spit out like potential sentences and people are picking and choosing. And so far right now it's doing better in terms of stuff like poetry and more like
descriptively.
That's because nobody understands poetry.
Yes, it has poetry has the plausible deniability of being comprehensible in the first
place.
Yeah,
that's probably a good poem. Especially Novaz, but it's definitely the fucking AI engineers that are programming this thing, reading what they got spit out, and then reading some fucking poem at a beat. Yeah, they're not telling the difference. Okay, anyways.
We're in the end game now. So yes, it's probably the next day. I feel like we maybe cut to like the boozy aftermath of this party.
I think you got to get right into fascistic, like, dun, 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 like, you know, the thing is about ready.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
up,
yes,
we're
yes,
up in
yes,
space
yes, yes.
or whatever, and everyone is a little
Star
bit
wipe.
Everyone's a little bit hungover up on the deck, you cut and they're kind of like, stumbling around a little bit.
You cut to like the opening shot with the thing flying overhead, but it's like a tube of Rolaids like dropping.
I literally had this exact same image where it's just like, can the fizz be like a star field? Can like the thing look like a moon? You know what I mean? Like he's holding in his hands like a moon that drops into the thing.
Underrated,
like,
one of the best gags in all of Star Wars is that Last Jedi joke where you think it's a starship landing and then it's pressing the uniform. It's so fucking funny.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Absolutely. This is a steam and everything. It just looks like a miniature. Okay, but Jar Jar just essentially is going to sentence Darth Vader to death. So
he's
like, going to
blow all these people up, right?
We are cutting out of this. What's like the first image from this moment?
Well, yeah. Well, okay. So in terms of what we're tackling today, right? Like, does this feel like you've got the thing going the way it's supposed to, right?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Jar Jar's doing whatever it is he's doing in the background.
Yeah.
And then what is the big turn? Is the big turn just that, like, Darth Vader hips to what's going on? Like, does this go up to, like, he goes into the room to blow something up and then Darth Vader's there? Like, how?
Remember, like, two episodes ago, we had kind of, like, because they are out of comms, like, something can happen now, essentially, to disrupt it. And Jar Jar doesn't have any way to
stop it.
Him.
Yes, that's true. So that feels like something we should play. So basically the idea is that Jar Jar is going to plant a virus. Yes, it's a two-pronged operation. Jar Jar's on the thing, and then they're flying the Imperial shuttle-esque. They're like, they stole some TIE fighters, and they're going to be flying a patrol, right? And then the air traffic control guys are going to be distracted by the TV that Jar Jar gave them so that this patrol is going to be able to slip in and not get noticed.
Yeah.
And then, but the idea is that Jar Jar, at some point, is going to upload a virus that makes the thing think that it's firing so that it will drop its shields and then they can blow up, because now that the shields are dropped, they can do the shot that's going to take the thing out. That's going to take the laser out and kill everybody on board.
What's going to end up happening is they're going to have to do it like right before the thing shoots.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. No. Now it makes sense. Because you would do that. Whatever happens, it feels like the cover gets blown for the rebels.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, or whatever, that part of the operation doesn't work. And now it is literally all up to Jar Jar. He's got a 30-second window. Because, like, when the thing is charging up, you can blow it up, right? But then, yes, the idea is after everything goes wrong, he has to run down to try to stop this thing from blowing up. And then it feels like what you would do is he gets down to the reactor core or whatever, right as it's about to open up, and he gets down there, and Darth Vader's down there, right? Like, and Darth Vader's blocking the end zone, so to speak.
Yes. Okay. Working backwards, like, we're going to end with this, like, freaking Godfather death of all the
Emperor,
which means that Jar Jar is going to give Darth Vader the fake data, which Darth Vader is going to believe that it's real because Jar Jar essentially is dying in order for it to feel like it's real.
Yes.
So, like, he does that.
Jar Jar outfoxes him.
Outfoxes
him. You probably
him.
Like, I'm picturing like that wherever they are, it's one of those really precarious Star Wars like corridors above a bottomless pit, and then you do Jar Jar's dying, and then you see him like take this thing out, and he makes it look like he's trying
try
to drop
it
over the edge, and then he even drops it knowing that Darth Vader's gonna grab it with the Force and pull it up and see it, but he's sold the lie, so to speak.
I love it.
But yes, that feels like the sort of move that you would do that comes after Darth Vader has killed him, and then or just mortally wounded him, so to speak, and probably after the laser has fired.
I was about to say, if it shoots the laser, if we are going to do that, they blow up the town, then you would do that. Jar Jar's like looking at the flames below, and that's where he's going to drop the USB drive. Like, literally, he's like hanging over the edge and sees the town burning below him, and he goes to drop it, and Darth Vader's like, no,
oh,
so
that's
kind of
cool. Taking,
and then
having
it
take
up.
Place not in like space, but like low orbit, so it's like just like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So then he can hang out and you can be like, okay, he can breathe because it's still in low orbit.
Yes. So town's going to blow up.
Does anyone die in Star Wars of space?
Like the space die?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody that wasn't Princess Leia when that ship blew up.
Ah, yes. Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah. Oh, so fucking magical. She couldn't help anybody else, huh?
Ooh, so magical. Hey, Leia, how about the family next to
she
you?
She had a lot going on, okay? You got to put your own space mask on before you can help others, okay?
See, I'm just saying that. When she opened that door, I'm like, you get back out there. Hey, you're not done yet. Get back out there and save some people. I didn't know you had that magical power. Save some folks. That's literally the first thing I thought when she was flying. I was like, hey, can she save other people?
We have to do this because we said one nice thing about The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
and just
know.
So we that we're not
we
playing
favorites.
We got
to keep favorites. The Star Wars fans listening.
so we're not playing favorites, we also have to say one negative thing about it. And at any rate, that all feels like a next week problem to keep our eyes as big as our stomach, so to speak. It feels like this chunk, like this next scene, as I would call it, Jar Jar's goal is to pull off their initial plan.
Yeah, I'm just worrying about, because since we know we want Cardiff to get destroyed, I'm just trying to think what you want here is essentially what is the big complication that happens right at the top of this, right? Because essentially at some place it goes back, it's like it doesn't seem super exciting. Like, I like that they won't get a shot at destroying this thing until it's about to blow up
new centrif,
but like you want that complication not just to be like hey, by the way, we're changing our schedule. You want it to be like they know Jar Jar's in on it, or
yeah,
like,
yeah,
or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
it's cat,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
what's
yeah,
the
yeah,
big
yeah.
turn?
All right.
And I think
so,
we had talked about that. Maybe it is like now that if they know Jar Jar, or if they know that they're getting attacked, Jar Jar can't warn them or anything. So like that could be the first thing is like what Jar Jar's trying
to
do.
He tries to go to warn them.
Yeah, and that could be how he gets caught. It could be like they found out because one of the Studley TIE fighter men in the spa, they didn't see him because it was so foggy in there. There's one guy that was sitting in the corner.
There is
always
one,
gotta pay attention.
One hot hunk in the mist.
Yeah, you always gotta look. You never know how big that steam room is unless you really check all the corners, because it's pretty foggy and it's pretty misty in there. So one guy who saw it all and hey, are you sure we could talk? Oh, it looks pretty empty in here. I don't see anybody. Yeah, but our visibility is only like 5 feet. Anyways, if it's like somebody they know about the attack, they don't think Jar Jar is associated with it, or they don't even know if it's new centrif or anything. They just know that there is.
Yeah, it would be tough for it to be the guy in the steam room, because he would have seen that Jar Jar was involved.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Unless Jar Jar didn't look like a Gungan because of all the steam. He's just like, I just saw, but then everyone else is in the steam room. So.
Yeah, like from a silhouette standpoint,
you do a
Jar
flashback.
Jar looks a lot like Jar Jar.
You do a flashback and somebody runs and be like, Dad, why aren't you at that birthday party? They must have forgotten my invitation in the mail. What? But Dad, I'm sure they want you to come. It's like, no. It's like, what are you going to do instead of going to the birthday party? I don't know. I'm just going to review security camera footage, I guess, instead.
Just going to sit here just scrubbing through security camera footage.
It's like, always
wait,
make sure the nightmare of not inviting the right person to your birthday party ends up being the person who discovers the plan.
That's very funny. It should be something grounded and banal
and, it's fun.
And silly like that.
Yes,
for sure.
And it's also, I think that's the right way to do it, because that's, I feel, most appropriate of the conceit of him being a double agent is that he is there and Darth Vader is like, oh, like Jar Jar, we got a problem. Like, come help me. He's like, what is this? Like, we know that, you know, Gungans are, they're taking 3 TIE fighters. You know, we're not sure which ones yet, but I'd hate to destroy all of them. You know, it's a necessary evil, but we got to stop this from going down or whatever. And then Jar Jar's like, uh-oh, like I'm here on this side.
Yeah. And then, so then he tries to warn them and then it doesn't work, or it does. It's, yeah, something.
Well, yeah, he gets caught.
Yes, because there's the other part of it is like, how does Vader, again, this is the other big magic trick this scene needs to pull off, is how does Vader realize that Jar Jar's in on whatever is going
yes.
on? Those are the two big things. It's like, how does the plan start to unravel? And then what does Jar Jar do to try to stop it? And how does that result in Vader figuring out, you know what we need? This is one of my favorite versions of this ever. It's so fucking, and this movie gets dogged on for having a bad script, but whatever. Mission Impossible 2.
Uh-huh.
You do the horse race scene.
Uh-huh.
It's like, Ethan's got to go fucking meet with Naya Nordoff Hall and under the close scrutiny of all of her contacts, and you know, with fucking Doug Ray Scott or whatever, with Sean Ambrose. Is that his name? Anyway, so he's got the MacGuffin in his left jacket pocket and he's watching him with the glasses. And he's like, you got to go get it out and give it to me and then put it back in his left jacket pocket. And then she puts it back in his right jacket pocket. And then later on in the scene, you see Ambrose realize, because you see her put it back and you realize like his face falls as she puts it back in. And then later he's like, you know, well, I can't remember what his friend's name is, whatever, his companion. He's like, get it out of my pocket. The right jacket pocket. You're like, oh no, he knows. Anyway. You do one of those is what I'm saying.
Yes. And it would be fun that it's like Darth Vader knows. Because I feel like, here's what's nice. In terms of an emotional turn, what's good is that Vader is at his most vulnerable with Jar Jar in the previous scene. So
Vader
being betrayed by Jar Jar is going to mean something to him.
Yes.
So, again, I think we had talked, I remember not exactly this, but like we were talking about like maybe Jar Jar and Vader are walking and like, you know, again, Jar Jar's nervous because he knows something, and like he glances at like a, you know, a group of TIE fighters outside because he knows those are Gungan ones, and Vader just like notices like that look, and like, you know, it's like you know, yes, I do feel like it is this dread of like Vader realizing,
right, if the TIE fighters are making the move,
yeah,
and then Jar Jar, like, if they're like, hey, something's weird, and he steps in, you know, like that exposes him enough to Vader.
Oh,
right?
Okay. What? Okay, that's a good point. What if it's that Jarth? Sorry, Jar Jar, rather than
Jarth,
like,
Jar, Vader,
Jarth Vader,
Jarth Vader.
Rather than like they get exposed right away, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's whatever. It's stupid, but it's not this. But it's like, oh, there's a forest fire nearby. You know, can you send a couple whatever?
Fire.
Just something.
Okay,
can you send a couple TIE fighters to go take care of it because mm-hmm. they got water? And it's like, sure, send these seven squads, mm-hmm. and one of them is the squad that needs to stay there.
So
and
yeah,
Jar Jar's
yeah.
like, oh, I don't know if we can send. I mean, I'm really concerned about the Emperor's safety. Like, he's like, it's fine. We have literally 6,000 TIE fighters here. Just send those
Jar-Jar,
seven.
Be
and
cool.
He's like,
it's like, Jar Jar, Jar Jar, be cool.
Yeah, be cool.
Who's gonna
yeah.
attack us? Cut to a wide where it's the only thing in the entire space system is just them. They're just hanging out. There's like thousands of ships. Like, Jar Jar's cool, bro.
Fine, just don't send TIE Fighter Squadron 22.
A76.-B.
Yeah, just send that. Why?
Weird. All right.
I know, superstitious. It's just, this is my lucky number, and I feel like if it's not here, the Emperor's going to die. I know.
Or he could be like, I met him at the party yesterday. Yeah. Like, okay.
But it's like
whatever.
Him having to
I have
do
an
something.
Insanely stupid idea.
Okay.
Love
okay,
it.
Hear me out. I've been in the back of my mind trying to figure out how do we get Jar Jar to disguise himself as Darth Vader. Does Darth Vader have a spare suit? Does he, you okay. know, mm-hmm. like, we got one chance to get a shenanigan. We got one last mm-hmm. shenanigan to get in here before he gets fucking okay. killed in the most brutal way possible. But I was like, does Darth Vader, the suit makes him sound like James Earl Jones, right? Like,
yeah.
he's Hayden Christensen. And then
yeah,
when
true.
He puts the helmet on, he sounds like James Earl Jones.
Yeah, at the end of Return of the Jedi, he speaks normally. Oh, when he takes the helmet off, he doesn't go, yes. Like,
yeah,
takes
so,
the helmet
but that's my point. That's my point. So could you do that? He's like, oh, shit, Vader's in it. You know that little boss pod where Vader has his helmet off?
Yeah, his gamer chair.
His gamer chair. He's in his intenser gamer chair, feeling all the butt-kicking rumbles while he plays Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Yeah, like Jar Jar gets a helmet for a video
he's
call
like, he has
or something.
To convince, he has to put it, like, Vader orders the TIE fighters to go blow up a ship or whatever, right? And then he's got to get them to call back his squadron. So he, like, steals Vader's helmet and puts it on, and then he's just to do the order or whatever, and then he's got to sneak and put it back before Vader notices it's gone.
In his left jacket pocket.
You can also get Nate 38 to do the voice. I feel like if you're going to do that, he becomes Vader, definitely the most fun thing is, like, you'd have to do him as Vader. I mean, there is, I have no idea how this fits in, and people probably hate this, but I do love the idea of him dressed up as Vader. Because the ultimate undercover would be him as Vader sneaking in to get something, and mm-hmm. who's that behind him? It's the Emperor. And he has
Ooh.
To. Like, that's a fun scene. And then it's like, especially, we'd have to apply this earlier, but especially, like, what would be good with that is, like, he takes the moment. Like, you'd have, like, Vader reveal something a little bit more personal in the Jedi Temple, mm-hmm. and then when the Emperor gets suspicious, like, Jar Jar would be like, just like that last
it,
child's face I saw. I've told you about it many times, Emperor's like,
I love
yes,
it, but it is the Force, and you're telling me the Emperor's not going to realize with the fucking
Shut
Force.
Shut the fuck up, Freddy. Are you fucking kidding me?
See,
20 episodes of you shitposting your way through this podcast, and now you're going to fucking cockblock me on this?
I'm just saying it's the Force. I'm just saying, here's how I buy Jar Jar as Vader. I buy him on the video call.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
I buy
yeah,
him in
the
it's the Force. He puts it on and then he's about to walk in and then Qui-Gon's like, what are you doing? Like, you need some Force magic. It goes blah, 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 blah. And he's like, there. Now your Force signature is Darth Vader's. You're like, okay, cool, Qui-Gon. You finally showed
no,
up for
no,
something.
No, you do. This is what it is. This is what it is. Hear me out. Hear me out, Freddy. Because you're right. This is an important problem. I'm sorry for complaining. You're absolutely
oh,
right.
This might solve our Qui-Gon problem. Yeah, go.
Yeah, you do. Qui-Gon's like, I'll help you out. And then Qui-Gon has to move exactly like Jar Jar yeah. moves, like invisibly, like to
yes.
like yes, to give the cloak of forciness over his body or whatever.
Oh, you do? He's sneaking into Darth Vader's plane. He's like, well, I guess I have to do this all on my own. I'm going to have to dress up as Darth Vader and nobody helps me, not Qui-Gon. And then he senses something. He goes, oh, no. Vader, I know you're behind me. He turns around as Qui-Gon. He's like, nice, it works. See, I've been planning. I've been learning how to make my Force signature feel just like Vader. It works. I'm here to help you. I'm going to, the Emperor think it's me. The Emperor will think it's Vader instead.
Well, it's also like, especially if we go back and establish that Qui-Gon can't go beyond the Jedi Temple without risking like his own destruction, essentially, then this becomes like Qui-Gon's in like kill mode now. Do you know what yeah. I mean? Like he's I don't know.
Look, this all—the only reason I wanted to do is that it all came down to Jar Jar pulls it off, and then as the Emperor's leaving, he's like, "I hope you understand." And then the Emperor leaves, and then Jar Jar responds with "Misa." And he stops, and then the Emperor turns around, and then he's got to think of something that sounds like Misa. Like, he does really well the whole time, but then he's gonna say "Misa, understand."
It's just like, how does he get Darth Vader out of his clothes?
He can have multiple outfits.
Darth Vader can have multiple outfits.
That's the
outfits,
classic act. He opens up the closet. It's all the same suit.
It's all the same thing. Oh, there's like one like fucking cool white one. You're like, whoa, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yes, you do. Darth Vader's personal shuttle has landed on the weapons platform.
Yes.
And there's a spare outfit in the personal shuttle.
Yes.
Guys, this is very... Do we dare? Do we dare?
Go this stupid?
Do we go this dumb?
I think, by the way, this might solve our Qui-Gon problem in that by Qui-Gon being out here, the consequence of it being discovered is probably his Force ghost getting like obliterated, you know?
Yeah. You can do something with Qui-Gon for sure. Like, yeah. And I like him showing up to help Jar Jar.
What happens if a laser hits a Force ghost? I'm trying to think, do you do like the end of Independence Day, like the dad who like flies it to the laser? You do like Qui-Gon like absorbs all the power and like he like, you know, you get that. It's a perfect have your cake and eat it too moment is fucking the end of The Rock, where it's like, you gotta have Alcatraz blow up. But they say, we just drop them on the part where there aren't the hostages. It's like the perfect, it's like it blows up half the island. So you still get the cool explosion, but they save the people.
And then they're like, sir, the hostages are actually fine. They weren't in the part that blew up.
Ah, yeah. Nobody was there except for our main character. So it's great.
That was the big problem with Unstoppable, by the way.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Like, how do you not blow up the train at the end of Unstoppable? Like,
you
that
can't
was...
have the conceit be the main characters are trying to stop the thing that you want to see happen, because then you're rooting for them to lose. You're like, I don't want people to die, but like, if I fucking watch this whole movie and a train doesn't blow up,
dude, write that. That's like save that one. That's like, that should go in every screen, right?
That is that's the tension, right? Because you can pull it off, and that's why, again, like in True Lies, the nuke goes off, right? They managed to pull off. You're like, wow, but it went away, it went off over there, right? Yeah. So you need your over there at the end of the movie.
And the Death Star is perfect because they're like, well, if we're gonna stop a planet blowing up, we have to blow up a planet. Like, if they just turned off, if it was just you turned off the laser, you'd be like, bullshit.
It looks like a planet. You're absolutely right. That's why it works.
That's why it works.
Holy shit, dude. You've stumbled upon some deep level shit, dude.
It's the law of transitive explosion bigness.
Yes,
exactly. If you can't just turn it off.
Do you imagine if they just managed to disarm the bomb in speed? Like, instead of fucking crashing it into an airplane? Like,
yes, exactly.
Yes, my God.
That's the trick with an explosion movie. And that was the problem with Unstoppables. They were like, if this fucking blows up, it'll be a horrible ecological disaster no matter where it happens.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, then it's a bummer. Then you're like, but I still want to see it blow up.
Someone's
going to
blow up. Fucking show, give me a shot of
Die Hard blows up the skyscraper and a helicopter. Like, they know. Like,
this is the power of a well-framed explosion, is that they just blow up like the tip of the skyscraper, but it feels like they blew up the whole thing. Yep. It's fantastic.
It's very good. Just like The Rock. Just a little bit of Alcatraz.
Just a little bit. Just as a treat.
As a treat. Okay. Anyways, where are we?
Okay.
We were going on this tangent, maybe.
Dude, that's some good shit.
We're like, we want to write this.
Armageddon doesn't work if they're like, we've pulled enough thrust to make the asteroid miss Earth.
You need a fucking close call where you see it like fucking like skim the Earth's atmosphere and it like knocks the American flag off the top of the Empire State Building. You'd be like, fuck this movie.
Yeah, fuck this movie. This movie sucks.
They blow the moon in half and then it fucking Tokyo drifts around the Earth. That's the coolest shit.
That's
of
the
all
coolest
time.
Shit you've ever seen. Yep.
Okay. Do we want to add 2 weeks to this podcast by putting Jar Jar in disguising himself?
All right.
It is funny. What would he be doing? Okay. It still comes down to what's the complication.
I mean, clearly it's the override, right? Like, Darth Vader is a pilot. We've seen that in Star Wars 4. Mm-hmm. So it's like Darth Vader probably has like the ability to command, you know, the starship fighters and stuff. So it's an override to get those starships. Those TIE fighters to go back. That's what the goal would be, to be as Darth Vader. It's like, hey, can we get those things to go back? Like, no, Jar Jar, you can't. It's like, psh, only Lord Vader has the authority to, you know, issue that command, whatever, you know, whatever the fuck.
And then meanwhile, okay, so then you can do, here's a fun thing you can do. Here's what you can do. You can do that he needs to now distract Darth Vader, right, to keep him from sending out the warning while he goes to get the fucking costume. Mm-hmm. To fucking put the warning out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's even one of those things where you can do, like, he gets onto the, like, Yes, yes, yes. If you do that, Darth Vader's personal shuttle is in the shuttle bay or whatever, right? He's got to sneak on board and then get the outfit, and then he can issue the command from it or whatever you're going to do. Something like that. You do, maybe we have a scene, because we also haven't really dealt with Nate 38 yet.
Yeah.
You could do a scene where he needs Nate 38 to distract Darth Vader. But he has to tell Nate what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he actually comes clean to her about what's happening or something like that. And then you reveal, like, maybe she's been in the Resistance this whole time or something like that. Like, you can have a fun little moment with her. And then she goes off to distract the real Darth Vader.
Or Nate 38 goes like, sure, no problem. I'll do what you want. I'm a fucking robot.
Look, I don't judge you when you look at porn on me. Like, I'm not going to, like, I don't care about the morality of what you do.
iMac that I need to, like, fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't owe Siri goddamn shit. You know what I mean? Like, Siri, look this shit up for me, please. Maybe.
Okay.
Lay in the space. What do you got?
Yes,
did they establish a C-3PO has a soul? I mean, that's the question, right?
No,
that's
I'll be honest, as a person who's just not a fan of any time we, I'm already feel like it's a whole, all of humanity needs therapy for how we treat animals, like, and humanify, or not humanify them. What do you call it?
Anthropomorphize?
Yes. So I definitely just take that to the next level when it comes to AI. So I very much appreciated that in Last Jedi, people were like, fuck C-3PO. Like, every time C-3PO shows up, it's like, I don't care that you're here. You're a fucking robot. Like, we don't, hey, everybody be quiet. Siri just showed up for a second. Can we all just, hey, Alexa, how's it going? Well, you play video
games.
Will, you play video games are smarter than C-3PO, and they're in your cupboard, covered in dust. Don't pull some Toy Story 2 thing.
I'm just saying, Nate's been a character in the movie. We could do
I agree. We could totally
We're just going on a rant about droids. Okay. Here could be one thing that Vader does. Nate 38 should be in it, and Nate 38 should be part of it. She should definitely be here in the finale. An easy setup that we have is they took the TIE fighters outfits, right? Mm-hmm. So the classic, whatever it is, you know, you plan ahead of time, but classic, you know, some cleaning person like is cleaning up the steam room and there's something left behind and they're like, there's a problem, like, we think somebody took some TIE fighters, and the only way, like, they do like a scan and nothing seems out of order, but everybody's certain, and the only person is like Vader is going to fly around because he'll be able to sense there's a problem. He's literally going to, like, personally check, because again, this is a huge thing, there's like 8,000 TIE fighters all over the system.
Oh, so you're saying he has to go, like, fly around as,
and now
Darth
you have
Vader.
This like tension, and now you have this ticket clock, because like, once Vader's within like a couple hundred yards of these people, he's gonna be like, sense them. He's like, yeah, those are Gungans in there. Mm-hmm. Like, those aren't my TIE fighters. Like, I have a sense. Like, Vader's like doing a patrol. He's like, I will hunt if there's a problem.
I will deal with them myself. Like, yes. One of those.
Yes.
And so then what does Jar Jar do?
So Jar Jar probably wants to warn them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few things. It's like, is Jar Jar going to try to warn them? Is Jar Jar trying to accelerate this to be like, okay, let's just like get ready. I'm going to activate this thing and we got to do this thing now because soon Vader.
So this is not a version where he disguises himself.
No, I'm just thinking. I'm just thinking of what a complication.
Okay, so here's a way.
I mean, that can happen.
You could do that. You could do that. It's out there. But then, so Vader's out in space, flying a patrol. Jar Jar could then attempt to kill Vader, right? Like, he could send the message to the guys, being like, "Hey, get back there." And then to cover his tracks, be like, "All right, change Vader's IFF system so that Vader's TIE gets identified as unfriendly, so the automated turrets all start firing at it." It's like, ooh, you killed Vader, but of course not, he didn't. Vader shows up later, you know. Anyone else?
You're saying maybe Vader someday later, but for now he's just a small fry? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or again, nobody knows that Vader's gone off. He's like, I'll solve this myself. He's like, I can't let the Emperor know I failed something so simple as TIE fighter security. So he goes off, and then then Vader's like, hey, Jar Jar, dress up as me so the Emperor doesn't know that I fucked up.
Oh shit. I'm so hungover. Oh damn. Fuck. I really screwed up.
Oh, I really fucked this up, Jar Jar.
Jar Jar, you need to do me a fucking solid, bro. Bro, just get killed. Listen to me. You're like tall as me, man. Go into my spaceship. There's like tons of suit. Just put it on. The Emperor's gonna be coming. Just don't say anything, okay? Just kind of brood. Oh, fuck, man. I really fucked this up.
Just go yes every time he says something, because he never asks me a no question. The Emperor's never asked me something where I say no. So just nod and say yes at all times. Actually, that's pretty good. He's like, I don't get it. The Emperor said with my new body, alcohol wouldn't affect me, and that's why I shouldn't drink it. But I think he was just trying to protect me from myself. He lied to me. This is why you don't lie to your kids when you're trying to teach them something. You give it to them straight, because I'm very sensitive to alcohol, clearly. I didn't know that. I thought I was invincible.
Maybe if the Emperor had normalized drinking in a social way when I was a kid, then it would have been fine. Like, I could just see an adult have a drink and not get drunk, and I know that that's a responsible way to enjoy alcohol. But no.
As force sensitive as I am to the Force, doubly so for alcohol.
All Jedi's are like,
that's how Jar Jar gets out of it, is he says Misa, and he looks, and then he's like, Misa's so drunk. And he's like, what? He's like, you heard me, buddy. He's like, why didn't you just let me drink when I was younger? The Emperor, and he just does the same rant that the Vader just did, and the Emperor pauses for a long time. He's like,
I'm sorry,
Vader. I wish you had told me this a long time ago. I knew it was something that you dealt with. He's
when like, I told you I was going to watch your career with great interest, I didn't realize you'd become a party hound.
Okay. I don't know where we are at.
All right.
We're
so
avoiding. We're avoiding.
We've swerved all over the road.
I don't know if you need.
No, we don't need him dressing
you
up.
Just, I don't think you need to even. It just could be as simple as, hey, break off, you know, these TIE fighters, and then Jar Jar realizes that's going to ruin the plan. And then he steps in a way, and he needs to become.
Could you split the goalposts here? Mm-hmm. And you do that, Vader is like, have them all fly by the tower, uh-huh. And I will reach out with the Force and yeah. sense them. Do you yes. know what I mean? Like, and so they all have to basically, they're all in a row. And so, like,
that's
the one,
so weird. Okay, yeah, keep going.
And then,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
he's got his hand reached out. And then you even do, like, he catches one of them, right? So uh-huh. there's three of them. There's Croquet and yeah, there's yeah. two more, right? And so then he senses one of them and he just crushes it with his fucking hand and the thing blows up. And then it's like one, two, and Croquet's the last one. And then Jar Jar's got to figure out something to do. But then you do, because Vader's sense mode is, like, heightened,
yeah, yeah.
whatever Jar Jar does, he senses it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, something like that, maybe?
How would you stop Darth Vader, though? You know what I'm saying? That's hard.
Maybe that's when Qui-Gon shows up. He oh. senses something.
Oh, you could have Qui-Gon show up. You could do, that's where Nate 38 makes, like, a sacrifice play.
Uh-huh.
You do, like, that third ship is going up.
Mm-hmm.
And
there
then...
is something totally fucking insane. What? Sorry, just to go about Qui-Gon. Where it's like, imagine the bridge, right? You've seen the Star Wars bridge, the glossy, whatever. Mm-hmm. Vader's got his hand out. And then the TIE fighters go in, charge of sweating fucking bullets. And then, like, a ghost just appears in the fucking outside in space. Like, that's whoa, it's me. And it's like, my God, it's Qui-Gon. And everyone's like, is that fucking ghost? Like, everyone's just freaking out. He's like, yes, I've returned. Yes. Like, oh, shit.
I was thinking, so he's closing his eyes. He has his hand out. And as the ships go by, he crushes one. He crushes the other. And yes, Croquet's about to show up. And Jar Jar literally watches Croquet's ship, like, go into the window. And he's about to do it. And Darth Vader's like, wait. He opens his eyes and Qui-Gon's just right there in the window.
Just like floating, like, what's up?
Sup, idiot?
Yeah, he's overwhelmed because the only thing he can sense is like Qui-Gon Jinn's right in front of him.
Dun, dun, dun. That's actually pretty fucking cool. And then Qui-Gon fucking floats that's through in. The window, and then everyone starts shooting, and he like kills like seven fucking droids.
Oh,
fucking,
shit. So
like, do you know what I mean? Like, you do a fucking force battle, and dude. Then you, or something like that, right? Like, that's kind of cool.
I mean, it's cool. There's definitely no, I mean, force ghosts don't do anything in Star Wars, but we could definitely do it again. I like the idea that Qui-Gon, like, got that, like, rough, like, alpha, like, version.
That's great,
like,
because what you can do is when Qui-Gon comes in, you can just hand wave it by being like, I studied the force, and I figured this shit out by myself. And then you're like, oh, no one else studied the Force and figured that shit out by themselves.
So you could do, okay, hear me out. This is fun. Qui-Gon starts fucking shit up. And then yes. what you do is the Emperor mm-hmm. gets into a Force duel with Qui-Gon.
Oh, yeah.
And then the climax of this is you essentially reveal as Qui-Gon dies, you reveal that the Emperor has wrested the secrets of immortal life from Qui-Gon. Mm. And, like, that's the sort of, like, dark, like, oh, no.
Yeah,
is that, like,
yeah.
that's, and then we've closed the loop on how he came yeah, back to the fucking, the, in yeah, the last
And
one.
Then the answer to somehow the Emperor returned
somehow
is...
Palpatine returned. Well, this is the somehow, boys.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, here's what you can also do. You can do whatever fucking Force Ghost shit. You can also do that, like, if you so choose to bring your Force Ghost back into the physical realm, like, you are vulnerable, like right, like, if you
yes,
just
they say, yeah.
Like, Yoda and them are more enlightened, like, they are just accepting their spiritual existence.
Yeah.
They died, but if you hang on to the physical realm yeah. again, like, kind of like Greek gods, if you come down to Earth, you're on Earth, boy. So it's like Qui-Gon's like knows that he could do this, and he doesn't let go. That's his consequence. Like, again, he could have been an advisor, or he could have been a spiritual leader or helpful for other generations, but, like, he's you know, full of revenge, and yes. he wants to fucking throw down. So he yes. throws down a
and
Qui-Gon.
And then you do, yeah, he fucking, so Qui-Gon shows up.
Yes.
That's cool. You get a force duel between, and then basically you're cross-cutting. Because
yeah.
now you do, essentially, the turn then winds up being that Croquet is still in play outside.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she's still flying around. She's got the bomb.
Yeah.
You've got Jar Jar inside. The Emperor's fighting Qui-Gon, and then you probably do, in this moment, you would also do Vader hips to the fact that Jar Jar has been betraying him the whole time. Like, yes. He pieces it. Like, again, yes. It's like, in that moment. Do you know what I mean?
I think when Qui-Gon shows up,
yeah,
he probably
exactly.
Yeah, yes. Qui-Gon shows up and goes like, "I've been here the whole time, bitches. Yeah, I've been invisible." And then Vader goes, oh, "Invisible."
I mean, he would get it. He's just like, "That's why you've been going to the Jedi Temple."
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, he can even be like, "I thought I sensed you," because again, remember Qui-Gon was there when like that yes. previous night.
Yeah, he looks
at Jar Jar. He's like,
"I knew I sensed something." Yeah. Okay. So yes,
he'd even be like, "But I didn't think it'd be possible for my only friend to betray me."
Jar Jar. So then you do that. As he's having that realization, Jar Jar books it.
Yes.
Right? And now Vader is hunting Jar Jar through the...
Well, he can't hunt him yet because he's fighting Qui-Gon.
No, but that's what I'm saying. The Emperor, like, fucking rolls up his sleeves. He's like, I've got this, my young apprentice. Like, I'll fucking take this guy out.
Yeah.
It's like a third-rate yes. Jedi who got murked by my last apprentice. Come on.
I like that. I like that as, like, Darth Vader has his lightsaber. I was about to fight him. And then the Emperor's like, "You idiot. Go get Jar Jar. This is for men." You know, like
big boys. Yeah.
This is big boy stuff. Get out of here. And,
this is big boy.
Oh, shit. I fucked up.
I should have killed
him. Yeah, he's pissed. And now Darth Vader's like, he's mad at fucking quiet Jar Jar, but he also has it. And again, the Emperor's like, "Come back on your shield or don't come back at all." It's like, don't fight. He's like, "You come back and you have killed him, or you're not coming back, dude. You blew it."
That's fun.
That's
and then it feels like, and now the stakes are like, "Oh, okay, yeah. If either of them die, they're just gonna blow up." Now, regardless, it's not even about whether or not they're gonna blow up the station, it's whether or not like they're gonna even be able to stop the station from blowing up New Centrif.
Yeah. So, yes, and then you do basically now they're locking the laser into fire, right? Like, or they're coming into, they're going to power, you know, or whatever, right? He's got to get down there and find the thing and bluff his way past all of his friends. But then they all slowly realize that he's not on their side. So people are starting to turn on him and stuff like that, you know?
Oh, okay. What I like about this is what you get for Qui-Gon. Okay, this is the way we can have it both ways. Because, like, I think they blow up New Centrif, but I do think you essentially get the people to flee. Like, enough, because I would do Qui-Gon essentially sacrifices the bigger play to just save the people in New Centrif. Like, he was the person who was like,
"Oh, they redirect the laser to Old Centrif where there's no one."
But he was
there.
The person who was like, "Fuck it, like, if we gotta kill an entire town to fucking, you know, do the greater good, that's what we're gonna do." And in this moment, like, he doesn't know what Jar Jar is doing. He's stuck in this battle with Emperor. I think he has a moment where he can, like, move the laser so it hits the edge of it, or he does something to try to save people,
and then he
dies. His force goes because he's
like that. Yeah,
the Emperor fucking destroys his soul.
He's literally about to kill the Emperor, and the Emperor's like, "Yes, good." You know, it's like one of those.
Yes,
who she always pulls out. That's like the best move.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
It's like, "All right, good. Go ahead and kill me, then you'll be evil."
Yes. It's like, "No, I won't
be evil. I have to let the worst guy in existence stay alive.
That makes me a good person." Yes.
Something like that. We can figure that all out. And I feel like I'm trying to think of what Croquet does. Croquet is the one little fly in the ointment.
Yeah. So I feel like what we have here is essentially this scene. So it's actually how we get into it. Because, yes, I feel like this is Croquet and the rest of the squadron. They are the ones that have to blow up the laser.
Okay. So then
which is the reason I was originally having, like, it'd be fun if Darth Vader was out there in the TIE fighter. Because, like, it would be Vader versus, like, Croquet and them. And then, you know, then Vader gets back on the ship to kill Jar Jar.
What is Jar Jar? Because in the original version we had, it was like it fucks up and then Jar Jar has to blow it up himself. So like in that version, I guess this is looking a little further down the road, but just to figure it out, what is Jar Jar doing? Because essentially you were saying that, like, when the laser powers up, like, it's exposed and then he can, like, blow it up somehow.
I think Jar Jar is indeed trying to, he's praying that because Croquet saw the other two ships explode, that Croquet understands that shit's gone to hell.
Yeah.
And I think what Jar Jar is doing right now is just trying to drop the shield. He's just trying to drop the thing to, like, Croquet, blow it up. He's like, "I pray to the Force that the fucking Croquet will know that I'm dropping the shield." And Nate 38's like, "You called?" He's like, "What? I'm God," or whatever. "Hi, I'm Nate 38.
I'm God. Hello.
I'll time it with Croquet."
Croquet's
job is still to blow up the laser.
Oh, I mean, then if you wanted to do your "sorry, I'm just a robot" thing, would be then you would do fucking Nate 38 just goes up and fucking kills Croquet.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Like... because it's like, "No, dude, like, I'm a robot. Like, I'm
owned
fucking,
by the Empire.
I am owned." That would be pretty brutal, right?
Your username is not the admin. You're not the administrator. You have the guest pass on my hard drive, dude. Like, I'm the Emperor's. I mean, yes, it'd be that. Oh man, if you wanted to kill Croquet, I mean, that'd be dark. It'd be like literally Croquet is heading up there, and Jar Jar is like perfect. And then the second before Croquet gets there, it's like the shields go back on, and Jar Jar's like, "Wait, what's happening?" And Nate 38's like, "Yes, it's like Nate 38."
You cut to Nate 38 just explodes, or at the very least, you do like the very silly fun of like,
ooh,
and Nate 38's in a starfighter,
yes,
and then the two of them get into a dogfight or something like that.
I was about to say, okay, this is good. This is good.
This is good.
Because
now we're Star Wars.
Yeah, this is good because I was like, the problem is, Croquet doesn't have a good villain, doesn't have somebody to fight them. Like, Darth Vader and TIE Fighter is cool.
Yeah.
We've seen it. He's powerful. But I do like Darth Vader hunting Jar Jar.
Mm-hmm.
I could go either way. It would be cool for Darth Vader. But I could see Nate 38. A betrayal of Jar Jar gives Nate 38 the spiel. Like, here's what's happening.
Yeah.
And Nate 38 being like, I'm glad you told me. And then, like, fucking, like, stabbing him in the gut. Be like, this is the longest, slowest way for you to die. You're going to bleed from your stomach. The Emperor told me this is how traitors deserve to die. He's like, my God. He's like, and thank you for telling me. You know, he says the starfighter's name. He's like, looks like I got to go hunting. And I like Nate 38. Like, it's not like he sits in the seat. Like, I like him, like, AI, like, cables.
Oh, yeah.
Come
she
out.
He, likes, like, Charlie's Theron in F9.
Like, consumes his TIE fighter.
She like takes her head off and jacks it into like the wall of the space station.
Totally underrated movie, yes. I'm assuming, because I've only seen the 45 second part of it where there's a really cool explosion. Stealth. Yeah, it's like now you got like this flawless AI device.
Shit. You know what I just realized? What? God damn it.
What?
All right, this is a draft 2 thing.
Okay.
But you would absolutely do this. This is one of my early dreams.
There will definitely be a draft 2.
Would be that you have these hints. Like, you'd see this when the Emperor is talking to Vader. Uh-huh. And he's like, if you fuck up, like, you think you're the only apprentice I'm grooming? Like, ooh. I have your fucking replacement waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
All they need is just a chance to prove themselves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then this would be where you reveal that Nate 38 is the secret Sith apprentice.
Ooh.
And the Emperor's been like, I'm going to turn this droid into like an evil droid. Like,
okay. I don't quite know what happens to him in the end, but mm-hmm. it'd be fun to do like the stupid Tom Riddle as like Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
It would, instead of a joke about Nate Silver, you do whatever Nate 38's name is, or the full version of her name is General Grievous. So this is like General Grievous's punishment for fucking the Clone Wars.
What?
Is put as a protocol droid. And then it's like, and it's like Grievous is back. It's like, yeah, this is the other Sith Lord. If Vader, you didn't work out, I got another chump.
Robo Sith.
Holy shit.
What Grievous is. Anyways.
A robot. Okay. All right.
Okay. A TIE fighter with like multiple lightsabers coming out of it. And she's like fucking spinning through the air.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Fucking just spinning through the air.
So it's like a TIE fighter, but instead of wings, it has like two lightsaber buzz saws.
That'd be terrifying.
Actually, that's pretty cool.
You don't have to aim. You just fucking fly into everything.
So what you're essentially saying is imagine like the TIE fighter and then it has two Darth Maul lightsabers that go out like super far for its wings.
Yes.
And then they spin super fast.
Yes.
And then it uses them to deflect blaster bolts.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is the coolest
thing. Yeah. That's pretty fucking
dope.
We're doing it.
It's like a helicopter.
I didn't even think about that part. The defensive aspect of a lightsaber is like you block every fucking blade. Good luck, X-Wing. Can deflect them all. Not only deflect them, bounce them back right at you.
Well, then you see that in the dogfight with Croquet.
Yes. Oh, yes. Croquet's got to fight Nate 38.
Yes, you do. That's the that's the harrowing
General Grievous or something. Yes, he keeps saying the word Grievous. It'd be a
she's
Grievous
coughing.
Shame. Why do you keep saying Grievous in like kind of the not quite right way to use it? Just really emphasizing it'd be a shame.
Wait a second. Leaving that for next week's insane episode, I think we should sleep on Nate 38 turning into General Grievous. Right, yes. Whether she's General Grievous or she's just a robot Sith or whatever with a fucking lightsaber TIE fighter. We'll play with it next week.
Grievous was her father.
Yes, that's right.
All we really have to figure out,
mm-hmm.
because I think the actual mechanism of there's a spy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not freak everybody out. We're just going to do, this is a fucking ceremonial, big propaganda type moment. Hey, last minute effort. Let's just do a quick parade of all the TIE fighters. Have all the TIE fighters go around. Don't let anybody know there's anything amiss. And Darth Vader is going to fucking scan each one of them. And then he's going to see
who are
the bad ones.
But how do we start that scene? That's your
point. Yes. How do we, what tips them off?
Oh, you know what? Hear me out. Do you know like the classic like going into battle gear up montage where like you see all the soldiers getting their guns
and
like putting on their armor or whatever? and like that, you that kind of music, and then it's that, but it's everyone getting like their shit together after this party, right? So you see, like, again, like the troopers are marching, and then like the officers just popping Rolaids into like very glasses good. For them as they're drinking. So you see, you know, someone like looking at the bags under their eyes, like Jar Jar's like rubbing his like just like standing open mouthed in the shower, like
that,
you know, like,
one TIE fighter. The kid's like, "Dad, are you okay?" He's like, "Yeah, it's okay, son. Come on, here. It's gonna be a great day today." And you're like, "Oh man." And then fucking Stanley Tucci from Hunger Games shows up. Like, I feel like that's such a vibe. There's like a Stanley Tucci from Hunger Games that's like, be like, "Hey, everybody, welcome to the big day. The Emperor's going to be here in 20 minutes. Like, are you fucking ready? Let's hear it."
Oh, like a Taskmaster-esque kind of.
Yeah, because like this is a big propaganda
control
moment.
Room. Yeah.
Okay. I just want like the awkward elevator moment of the Emperor, Vader, and Jar Jar in the elevator. And then the Emperor like walks out first and they were about to walk out. And like Vader like stops Jar Jar, just looks down at him into like his soulless eyes. He just goes, "Thank you for last night." And then he just like walks away really quickly.
I do feel like you want that awkward, like Darth Vader showed his whole ass last night, yeah. Right? Like, so like seeing how other people treat Vader after he was, yeah. Like they all know he was wasted the night before. It's interesting. But yes, that moment between Vader and Jar Jar is really important. And then you need to essentially very quickly start developing what the problem is.
This is what's wrong about your montage is you do in the middle of that montage. You're like, okay, I get it. It's like a fun montage. It's like you have somebody who's hungover. Somebody's cleaning up the steam room. Mm-hmm. And then you plant that and the person goes, "Huh?" And then you just like keep on with the montage. And then it's like, "Oh, that person's found the thing."
Oh,
and you
can track it.
So that way it doesn't come out of nowhere. It's like, "Oh, you've seen that. Oh, there's already
that's
a problem
next,
happening."
Actually, if you were going to do Krogan's that, getting into the ship also. To this moment between Vader and,
yes, and then the person
like,
interrupts.
About last night, I've been thinking, and you're like, "What is he thinking?" And it's like, "Vader, we've got a problem."
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and like you never hear what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the Emperor is like, "Well, that's a problem. Do we need to cancel?" And Vader's like, "No, I have a solution for this."
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
Yes. And she throws you straight into the problem.
Yes,
like,
yes,
you
yes,
get
yes,
disarmed
yes.
by this goofy montage. Like, wait a second. Oh, no, they found something. And yes, you have this sentimental moment or this little awkward moment between Vader and Jar Jar that gets interrupted because somebody.
So we have planted something we could use before is that we see. In the previous scene at the factory, we see the owner of the manager of the factory hiding the three starships got stolen. Like she fakes the report or something like that. So you could do something related to that. Like someone has been like, "Wait a second, like three starships got stolen." Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like it could be something like,
yeah,
I'm trying to think of how that would come back. I do like it being something in the steam room is very funny.
Yeah. It's like vague because it essentially needs to come down to like, they don't know exactly what ships. They're just like, the three TIE fighters we thought were destroyed or missing weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they go? And then, you know, the Vader and Emperor, like, look around. They see all the TIE fighters circling. He's like, "I think we have, you know."
Yeah, there's traitors in our
There's
midst.
Traitors in our yeah, It's yeah, like, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, it's like, you get it. It's like, they think there's a problem. And, like, okay. They don't know exactly what it is. That's why they're going to fucking, he's like.
He's got to scan for it. He's got to, you know.
Vader, what do you think we should do? He's like, "I think we it's should like, have a parade."
Yeah.
And then it's like.
All right.
And then he cuts a Krogan and them and they're like, "Oh, you know. Quick plan, hey fly boys, what are we doing? Thinking we gotta fly around the ship." It's like, "Why? We gotta be protected." He's like, "We gotta show the audience what they love. We're doing a big parade." And they're like, oh no, what's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
Jar Jar's freaking out, trying to figure out how to.
It's formation. It's an inspection. You know?
And then, yes, you do. Jar Jar like manages to get control of one light and is Morse coding, like, you know, like Vader inspection or something like that. Like he's trying to warn them, but they're not seeing it. And then like someone's like, he gets taken away from his thing. And it's like, oh shit. You know, and then people are going to, anyway.
And the TIE fighters, they fly past the window and like the first group of TIE fighters flies past the window and they all do like a loop-de-loop. And Vader's like, "No loop-de-loops." And then the next ones, they like do a little barrel. It's like, "This is not for my entertainment. I'm just move past."
Hold still. I'm trying to.
It's a parade, Vader. What are you doing? Why? He just wants to circle past. We're trying to get people
to see our moves.
No, the next person who gives me a loop-de-loop will never see the light of day.
Wow, check it out. And then Vader just like throws him into the planet.
Boring ass parade. And Krogan's just saying like, "Jesus Christ."
He's just like
next.
Vader frowns and then you see the wings of the thing turn a little bit. Now it's just forever doing loop-de-loops off into the distance.
Yeah. So you're like, "You're loop-de-loop now." Like, oh God.
Okay. All right. So what is the thing? I think we have the thing. I have the scene. I figure. Yeah. Because this all
thing?
Builds up to basically Qui-Gon showing up.
Yes.
And I think we can kick the rest off next week.
So what you're saying is that they said three TIE fighters went missing. You just, I don't know. It's just this fucking.
They got an invoice for 23 TIE fighters.
This is a sad janitor, and he's just like, ugh. He's just like putting stuff into a shredder. And then he's like, "I just want to go home." And his like wife calls, like, "I know, I'm coming home. Just give me a moment. He's like, I've been here all day." And he's just like, ugh. And he's like, "Food spoiled." And then like the shredder gets jammed. He's like, ugh. And he's like pulling the thing out. And he pulls this paper out of the shredder. And it's like one of those like, you know, backwards, like, you know, those like the carbon copies or whatever. He like looks at it. He's like, "Wait a second." He pulls up the other one. And he's like, "Oh, and the numbers don't match." It's like, I feel like somebody just finds that the numbers of TIE fighters made at some point are different than the numbers that were reported.
Okay, here we are. All right. I think I got some. We saw Jar Jar, like, cajole the flight attendant guys, not the flight attendant, the traffic control tower, right?
Yeah.
Into, like, putting, like, a little hologram screen in their fucking room so they'd be distracted watching the festivities, right? So then that's what's going on. They're all hungover, sipping their coffee, watching TV, right? And then your two KTLA-ass news anchors
Safety
are like, they're like, 330 TIE fighters have been constructed at this base to be used in today's, you know, thing or whatever, right? And then he's looking at that, and then he looks at the terminal, and there's 333. And he's like, what the fuck? And then someone's like, oh, yeah, and then they change it to fucking pod racing. He's like, no, change it back. He's like, are you kidding me, man? And then he's like, oh, shit, we have a problem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, that's classic, because then you just cut to, they're like, whatever, man. It's just a fucking parade. Just enjoy the time off. Then you cut to that person, like, you know, just scrounging through filing cabinets, and they hold up a piece of paper. Like, hey, wait, they figured it out. Like,
yeah.
There's three TIE fighters more.
No, but literally, he's in the flight control tower.
Oh, yeah.
He can
look
and see that there are 333 ships in orbit or whatever.
I like KTLA.
Can you imagine 300 F-16s flying around?
I feel like it's a lot, because remember, this is like a giant, this is like a giant laser thing, and this is probably protection for, like, you know, like a 100-mile square area or whatever.
Yes, they're watching New Centrif LA.
Yeah, it's just
New Centrif local
want...
news being like, what's going on up in space? We don't know. It seems like the Emperor has got some new things.
Just in terms of, like,
off.
The pacing, you can either just do one moment if you pace it through the montage. It's like 330 and the person looks. And again, the way you do it is, like, you use the KTLA. It's like, there's 330 ships flying around. And then you cut to one hungover person, like, look up, you're like, huh? You're like, oh, weird little moment. And then you do other montage pieces, and you cut back, and that person's, you know, in the flight deck and, like, holding up a piece of paper and says 327, and they look and they, like, have an eyebrow, like, huh?
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah. But anyways.
It's like on a computer terminal. I don't think you need to.
Yeah,
it's
literally, computer terminal, whatever it is.
Yeah, that works. Okay, great. And then, yes, that's the person who comes up to Vader and interrupts him with,
yes.
Then you two are like, shit, should we call it off? Like, no, we're not fucking calling it off. I'm going to look like an idiot. You guys at the Empire, figure it out. And then Vader's like, I can do it. Like, I can, you know.
And then we'll have a bunch of Star Wars action.
And then
we found our thing. Every Star Wars thing needs a new thing. I'm not saying ours is the best, but, you know, I mean, Force Awakens just had, like, two more little baby lightsabers coming out of a normal lightsaber.
TIE lightsaber
is pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty damn good, I do have to say.
It's one of those things that people would see, they're like, that's dumb. But then once that thing starts, like, deflecting, like, blasters back at X-Wings and shit, you're like, okay, this looks dope.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and do some ads. And when we come back, the scene.
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, schmanners. Get it?
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight the part of Matt Arnold will be played by no one because Matt forgot we were recording.
Why don't you
right
read
now.
His text message to you?
Oh, I forgot.
Hey, might be.
Might be.
The Imperial March kicks off as we begin montage. Close up, a sleek Imperial display screen flashes a red alert. Jar Jar's hand fumbles into frame and switches it off. It's no high-tech control panel, but a bedside alarm clock. Interior, Jar Jar's bedroom, night. A bleary-eyed, hungover Jar Jar kicks off the covers and wearily climbs out of bed, clutching his head in pain. Interior, pilot's locker room, morning. The door swooshes open and a groggy, disheveled lieutenant steps into the room. A squad of pilots, all looking beat to shit, stand at attention and hold out glasses of water. The lieutenant marches down the row, dropping a fizzy tablet into each water glass for her hungover squad. Interior, mission control tower, morning. Quick cuts. Gloved hands punch buttons and pull levers on a complex high-tech device, then load a coffee pot into it and press brew. The whole thing's full of shit like this. A control tower technician parks her coffee mug under the machine and rubs her bloodshot eyes. The mug fills up, she adds a splash of booze from a flask and takes her seat in front of a massive window overlooking the weapons platform. The view is stunning. The platform floats in the high atmosphere right at the edge of space over Naboo. Next to the technician, her colleagues crowd around that holographic projector Jar Jar hooked them up with. It displays a news program.
It appears that some new type of Imperial weapons platform has moved into the upper atmosphere above New Centrif. though to what purpose, no one's quite sure.
Thanks, Freddy. One thing we can confirm, the platform's fighter escort consists of 147 brand new TIE fighters constructed right here in town at the new Center of Fighter Craft facility. Now on to sports.
There's nothing I love more than the like modern American newscaster lilt.
Oh, it's so good. It's
There's
so
something
good.
Really entertaining about it. Back
but
to you.
He didn't say that. Our coffee slurping technician frowns in confusion upon hearing this. She cranes her neck to look at the hologram news show, then looks down to check a radar tracking all the ships flying near the platform. Just then, a squad of TIE fighters streaks past the window. Intercut, interior rebel TIE fighters day. Croquet glances at the control tower from behind the tinted cockpit glass of her stolen TIE fighter. Two more fighters, flown by the Mon Calamari and Twi'lek rebels, form up on her wing.
Careful, boss. We're too close to that tower.
Negative. Weesa gotta fly like Weesa got nothing to hide.
She leads them into a tight banking maneuver, and they fall in seamlessly with a dozen other fighter squadrons buzzing around the station. Interior control tower day. But back in the tower, our hungover technician stares at her radar with growing concern. She switches on a microphone.
Tower to flight commander, how many TIEs in our escort today?
The voice of a TIE pilot crackles through the speakers.
147, why?
Confirm that, 147, are you sure?
Well, last time I checked, why, did we lose someone?
She looks down at her radar. A readout in the corner counts 150 fighters in the airspace. Stand by, Commander. She gets up from her chair and runs out the door, passing that hologram newscast as she goes.
With that many fighters in tow, there must be a big VIP on board. Maybe even the illustrious Lord Vader himself.
Interior Lord Vader's residence day. Hydraulics hiss as a metal egg-shaped containment pod cracks open, revealing Darth Vader sprawled out on a reclining chair, his cape draped over his head. The containment pod locks into its open position with a clang, startling him awake. He jumps to his feet.
I'm up.
Vader clutches feebly at his helmet and stumbles frantically into the bathroom. Cut to interior turbo lift day. A hungover Vader and Jar Jar stand in awkward silence next to each other as the Imperial March plays piped into the turbo lift speakers. Love a good fucking
speaker elevator music.
Can't,
you know, I will say,
when's
the last time you heard music in an elevator?
When's the last time you saw the elevator music joke? It's been a while.
That's true.
Time to take that one out of mothballs, everybody. Jar Jar and Vader each try to covertly glance at each other, and they make sudden awkward eye contact in the process. Vader shifts and clears his throat.
Governor, about last night, I...
Jar Jar looks up at him hopefully, but just then the door swooshes open and in walks the Emperor, humming along to the Imperial March and adding his own homebrew lyrics.
Oh shit, here come the Imperials. Run and hide from the Imperials. Watch as they fight for the Emperor and die for the Emperor, for he is the Lord of the Sith.
Ding. I had a lot of fun with that one.
That was good.
The door opens again onto the command deck. The Emperor grins to his henchmen.
It's gonna be a big day, boys.
Suddenly, Nate 38 rushes up to them as they step off the elevator.
Your Highness, Lord Vader, Governor, we have a problem.
Interior hallway. The Emperor, Vader, Nate 38, and Jar Jar walk and talk like a cool Aaron Sorkin movie, kind of.
We ran a full diagnostic on our scanners and confirmed with ground control. 147 fighters launched this morning, but there are 150 in the sky right now.
Jar Jar gives a dismissive but tellingly nervous wave of his hand.
It could just be a miscommunication.
Or it could be an attack.
An attack? You're so crazy, Vader. Well, what could three itty-bitty fighters do against a big battle station?
The prototype laser is vulnerable to attack in the moment before it fires. A direct hit on its thermal core could destroy the whole station.
This shit was in the memo, Jar Jar.
Did you not get my fucking memo, Jar Jar?
Jar Jar's eyes go wide with fear. They knew that already? The Emperor glares at Vader.
Which is why someone suggested a massive fighter escort to protect us.
Vader hangs his head in shame.
I have failed you, Master.
I have failed you, Master. Don't just stand there crying about it. Fix the problem, or I'll find a new apprentice who can.
I just want to say, whoever came up with the thing, like the alternate
capping, oh,
like
genius.
Biggest breakthrough in text
communication in decades. Oh, unbelievable.
This line would have been impossible in a screenplay to convey before this.
It is up there with, like, emojis, in my opinion, of the ability to communicate sarcastic tone of voice by alternating caps. Brilliant.
It's
absolutely
very, very good. A straight-up clipboard-slinging, walkie-talkie headset-wearing second assistant director hurries up to Vader, the Emperor, and Jar Jar.
Emperor Palpatine, you're doing makeup?
The Emperor turns his wrathful gaze onto Jar Jar and Vader.
10 minutes, gentlemen. Do not disappoint me.
He walks off with the second assistant director. Jar Jar, Vader, and Nate 38 continue their walk and talk through the hall.
Nate 38, tell the tower to warn all our pilots immediately.
Belay that, Governor. Right now, our enemy has no idea we are aware of their presence. We must hold to that advantage.
Still, Misa think...
Vader cuts him off as they enter the control tower. Interior control tower, day. Vader, Jar Jar, and Nate 38 enter the room and look out the massive window.
This is a military matter, Governor. You have no authority here. Consider yourself dismissed.
Jar Jar frowns. Vader turns to the control tech.
You command all squadrons to fly past this tower in single file formation.
What reason should I give them, sir? Surprise inspection?
No. Tell them it's a parade.
Intercut. Interior Rebel TIE Fighters. Day. Croquet watches with alarm as all the TIE Fighters around them form a single line and head towards the control tower.
A parade? 10 minutes before the attack?
You know how the Emperor loves to make an entrance.
Stay alert. Misa smelling something sour in the water.
They fall into line with the parade of ships. Interior tower. Day. Vader stares intently out the window. Dread fills Jar Jar's face. First fighters are approaching now, sir. Shall I scan them as they pass?
No need.
He reaches out his hand towards the glass as the procession of TIE fighters flies by. The control techs exchange surprised glances. One of them mouths to the others, "The Force." Jar Jar, mind racing, scans the room and spots an empty control console in the corner. As everyone else stares out the window, he sneaks over to it, twists a dial, and starts discreetly tapping a button in rhythmic fashion. Intercut, Rebel TIEs, day. The Rebels draw closer and closer to the tower as they wait in line. A rhythmic series of static bursts cut through their radio chatter.
Check your comms. I'm getting bursts of interference on our encrypted frequency.
I just realized, like, Mike Mon Calamari is like Cartman, kind of.
Just a ma'am. Ma'am.
Hang on. That pattern's too stable for interference. That's signal code. But it's just random letters. I can't make out the message.
Croquet grins.
Those aren't random letters. That's native Gunganese.
Jar Jar, what's he saying?
T-R-A. Oh my god.
Mon Calamari, first up in their squad, flies past the tower and sees Darth Vader looking out the window, hand outstretched.
It's a trap!
Vader closes his fist, and the Mon Calamari's fighter crushes and explodes.
No!
The Twi'lek pilot punches her afterburners and breaks formation.
Wait, don't!
Boom! In a split-second flash, a turbo laser on the platform locks onto the Twi'lek and blasts her ship to smithereens. Croquet curses in fury. Intercut, control tower continues. The control tech grins. Two down, one to go. Slow-mo quick cuts. Vader's hand turns towards the next ship in line. Croquet's. Croquet stares at Vader from her cockpit. Jar Jar watches in helpless horror, then spots an alarm button on the wall. Croquet arms her torpedoes, primes the self-destructs, and turns to ram the tower. Jar Jar reaches for the alarm and makes eye contact with Nate 38, who's caught him red-handed. Vader spots Croquet and begins to close his fist. And Qui-Gon Jinn appears in space right in front of him.
Holy shit!
Vader staggers back, astonished. With a blast of force power, Qui-Gon knocks him across the room and phases through the glass.
Nice.
Dope.
Dang.
Man, I was really hoping Matt would be here to hear our Imperial March lyrics.
I don't know how I feel about you introducing coffee to the Star Wars universe. I wonder when they actually write this, do they have a thing where it's like, okay, here's things like, right? Like, they must have a list of like
stuff that
do's
real.
And don'ts, right?
Like, it's weird. Like, we have the same thing with like pens or markers, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you told me that Qui-Gon Jinn writes with a big quill and ink, I would have bought it. But like him having like a number two pencil, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Like, rubber bands, I don't see existing in Star Wars, or staplers or paper clips.
Like, pool toys. Like, no, I don't
noodles.
Think so. But at the same time, Casino Planet. Okay, all right, okay, yeah.
Anyway.
Dice, but with like weird numbers
yeah,
and scratches
on
it. Yeah,
but it's gotta be space
it.
Dice, right?
Space dice, yeah.
But like, how do you like space up something as banal as a coffee pod, right?
Yeah.
Ironically, a coffee pod would have felt like Star Wars until they invented coffee pods.
That's a good point.
Like if in 1977, like you had Han Solo load a little chunk of something into a machine and close it and then coffee came out, you'd be like, that's cool as hell. But now it's like, get the fuck out of here.
He's got Keurig. Anyway, that's gonna do it for us this week. Thanks very much for listening.
You can check us out over at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak where you can peep fan art from the likes of our good friend Storybroke, who tweeted us a fantastic Dirty Dan poster.
Oh, yeah.
Another classic episode, as well as another picture from our Jar Jar adventure. You can also check out the conversation going on over at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. That'll take you to our Facebook group. Word to the wise, when you join the Facebook group, you get asked a question. You have to answer the question to get into the group. Some of you have been slacking, haven't been answering the question, and you got to answer the question so we know you're not a robot.
No Nate 38s in there, only humans.
Only humans.
Although Nate 38 probably.
Impressive enough
out.
Robots that can get past our
trap. Yeah, exactly. Chad Ellis has his podcast. We're
Thanks,
on the Maximum
Chad.
Fun Podcast Network. Check out MaximumFun.org. Listen to all the great shows. Listen to the ads for the great shows on this very show itself.
Stick around.
You'll love it. Anyway, that'll do it for us this week. Matt, not here. Total slacker. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
And I'm Matt Arnold, and I can't read text messages.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney, host of the JV Club podcast. Ah, high school. Was it a time of adventure, romance, and discovery?
Class of 95, we did it!
Or a time of angst, disappointment, and confusion?
We're all tied together by 4 years of trauma at this place, but enjoy adulthood, I guess.
The truth is, it was both. So join me on the JV Club podcast, where I invite some great friends like Kristen Bell, Angela Kinsey, Oscar Nunez, Neil Patrick Harris, and Keegan Michael Key to talk about high school, the good, the bad, and everything in between.
My teenage mood swings are getting harder to manage.
The JV Club. Find it on Mac.